Alrighty. Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is about 7 minutes after 10 on February 23rd of 22. It's too bad we didn't have it yesterday. It could have been 2-22-22. That was so cool. But we didn't. We're having it today and it's 2-23. I am Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Commissioner Randy Christman. And for the first time in another historic meeting today, we have our newest commissioner, Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Huffert. Welcome, Sherry. We'll give you a second to speak in a minute. But it is a great day to get started. We're full strength. We're not doing the power play anymore, Randy. I don't think we scored any goals, but we did manage to keep the anything at bay and get through the, let's see, probably almost two months with a smaller team. But thank you to the staff for picking up extra work in that time as well. We're a lean agency, and having one less body definitely makes a difference. It definitely does. So we're glad to have you, Sherry, and you bring really great experience from the cooperative world and a fun attitude and a nice friendly face. And I'm excited to work with you and have you part of the team. So you'll get the feel of our meetings as we go, but typically we have a few minutes of opening comments and we kind of run through the order. And just as it stands, you're last. So we'll save the best for last today.
Thank you.
So aside from that, in terms of opening comments, we just, both Randy and I, were a little late because we were providing comments to the Ethics Commission on their proposed rules. And I think that both he and I individually and the agency as a whole provided some interesting points and suggestions that are available to anyone who might want to see them offline as well. So feel free to request those, and I'm hopeful that the Ethics Commission takes into consideration all that we're suggesting. It does have a big impact on the kind of people that are willing to serve in these offices. And the entire atmosphere here at the PSC, the workload of the staff and everything, it isn't just a political issue. It is most definitely a procedural issue that will impact this agency as a whole as well. So I hope that our comments will be listened to and recognized and I hope approved they'll adopt some of the things we're suggesting. So with that, Commissioner Christman.
Couldn't agree with you more on what you just said about the Ethics Commission testimony. It's a very important process they're going through, because frankly, depending on, you know, they could adopt rules so stringent that really these positions are only left open to independently wealthy people, and that ought not be the case. We need to continue as we have for well over 125 years to have a bigger pool of potential candidates than that for these offices. But most even more fun to talk about is welcoming Sherry to the commission.
Thank you.
You mentioned good experience and good demeanor and everything like that. I also want to say I've worked with Sherry, not a lot, but in other aspects of her career over the years. She's just built a record of strong work ethic and good decision making, and I am really excited to have you aboard, Sherry.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so, and now another historic moment. This is the first time that the commission has had two females and one man. And so Sherry and I have adopted the very inspiring motto, girls rule and boys drool.
Well, frankly, you may be losing touch, because all I've been hearing is people pointing out how I'm the only brown-haired one left.
Well, we can change that. Trump was good at finding blonde hair. All right. With that, Sherry, you're up. Any opening comments, then you'll turn back to me and we'll go through the agenda.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Huffert. I am grateful for Doug Burgum's appointment that occurred when he offered it to me, the appointment on February 11th. And I started on February 14th, and I have been truly blessed with a great staff that has welcomed me and been totally accessible to all my questions, so that I'm forever grateful to the staff at the PSC, but also to Commissioner Fedorchak and Randy Christman, who I've known for years and who have also been a tremendous support. So I look forward to working with you. And for the record, this is natural hair color. So.
We're not going to get into that, Sherry.
So thank you for the warm welcome, everyone.
All right. Excellent. All right, then. We have a number of items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, moving into the regular agenda. And because Sherry's time here was just like a few days really before this commission, we kept everything just between Randy and I with the way the portfolios were split up. And then we just approved on consent the redefinition of portfolios. And so we basically, I'll walk through those real briefly. Oops, that's admin. So I will have business operations, siting, railroads, MISO and OMS, and economic regulation of gas. Commissioner Christman will have coal mining and reclamation, band and mine lands, licensing of auctioneers and auction clerks, telecom, SPP, and RSC. And then Commissioner Haugenhoffert will have wind and solar reclamation, economic regulation of electric, pipeline safety, damage prevention, weights and measures, and consumer affairs. And so it's a slight switch from what Brian Krosh has had just to, and so she took wind and solar reclamation, that used to be one that Randy had, and she has consumer affairs, that used to be in my portfolio, and Commissioner Krosh used to have economic regulation of gas and electric, and we split those. I'm retaining gas, and Sherry has electric. Is that the right thing? What are you laughing about?
Never mind.
I used to have gas.
You said you're retaining gas.
All right. I didn't mean to get so personal. All right. So that's the new portfolios. All right. So moving on to the regular agenda. I have a couple items. I move the commission obtain. Don't get me started laughing, Randy. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Mandan to Ellendale Transmission System Upgrade, citing exclusion certificate case number PU-20-342.
Second.
On July 16th of 2020, MDU filed with the commission a certification and documentation regarding the upgrade of a 230 kV transmission system beginning near Mandan and ending near Ellendale. On October 20th, the commission held an informal hearing on this filing. At the informal, MDU disclosed to the commission that construction on the project had started in May of 2020. On November 19th, Commission Advocacy staff sent a notice of noncompliance indicating that MDU was in noncompliance with the siting laws by failing to file with the Commission certificates and supporting documentation before conducting construction activities associated with this project. Then on February 2nd, a consent agreement between staff and MDU was filed for resolution of this November 19th notice of noncompliance. And under the consent agreement, MDU agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $10,000 payable to the commission within 10 business days of an order accepting or approving the consent agreement. So with this order today, the commission accepts this consent agreement that staff and MDU entered into. You know, it's a serious issue to begin construction before obtaining a siting certificate. We did look through this pretty extensively and talked through it at an informal, and I'm ready to support this agreement that staff and the MDU have entered into.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will say on this case, I was initially really seriously considering dissenting on this, because I thought that it seems awful low, and I don't want to set up a situation where a company like this was citing. I mean, this isn't someone's little lawn sprinkler service that maybe didn't call before they dug or something. The big utility that has siting experience, we actually set a precedent for penalties so low that maybe in a lot of instances it's better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. But in reviewing my notes from the informal and looking at case records, there are some oddities about this. This wasn't, you know, a long transmission line that they just went out and built out in the middle of a greenfield development area or something like that. And so this was a very unique circumstance, so I don't think this really sets any precedent for someone else who might start construction somewhere before seeking a siting certificate. So I guess in after a lot of thorough evaluation, I'm going along with this motion as well.
Thanks, Randy. I agree with you. I was sort of puzzled by the low amount at first as well, but then the line itself was reconstruction on an existing line that was there, I believe, even prior to the siting laws. And it was, you know, pretty modest changes in terms of moving some poles, and really the upgrade to the line was significant and a really important project. And not that it allows people to go fast or ignore the laws, but the landowners involved didn't have concerns with it that we've heard of, and it seemed like, you know, the actual impacts were pretty modest. So I think the $10,000 fine in this case is acceptable.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the Commission find the formal complaint filed by the North Dakota Public Service Commission advocacy staff on February 4th of 2022 states a prima facie case and serve the complaint on the respondent in Public Service Commission J.P. Hager Enterprises, LLC, damage prevention enforcement case number PU-21-338.
Second.
So on July 26th of 2021, the Commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Dave Voller at Otter Tail Power. The complaint alleged that JP, violations by JP of One Call excavation notice system by failing to provide an excavation or location notice before beginning excavation. On July 28th of 2021, Commission staff issued a letter informing JP of that complaint and requested a response from JP by August 11th. We received that response by September 2nd of last year. And they did agree that they did not have valid excavation or location notices prior to beginning its excavations. So on November 1st, staff and JP filed a consent agreement intending to resolve all issues in this proceeding. But on January 18th, we denied the consent agreement without prejudice. And allowed for a modified settlement agreement or other administrative action. Since then, staff has attempted to reach JP by phone and emails, actually dating back to November of 2021, and they have not received any response to the phone calls or emails. So this then takes it to the next step, and basically creates a prima facie case and gives them, let's see here. The staff the ability to move this forward to a hearing, et cetera, or just recommending a fine, and then we can levy such a fine. So that's where this is at now.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. All right, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Natural Gas Distribution System, CAS and Richland Public Convenience and Necessity Case Number PU-21-386.
Second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
On September 10th of 2021, MDU filed an application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and operate a natural gas distribution system to portions of Cass and Richland counties in North Dakota. And on January 28th of this year, they filed an amendment to this application that reduces the proposed distribution service area to the city of Kindred and its environs. The issues to be considered in this matter are, is there a need for this service? Is MDU technically, financially, and managerial fit and able to provide this service? What is the effect on other public utilities providing similar service, and is the proposed service adequate? Anyone that desires to have a hearing on this case must file a written request identifying their interest and the reasons for requesting a hearing by March 23rd of 2020, and if appropriate, we can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'm just going to say if people want to tune in, even if they're not really interested, it helps other people to understand what the environs of a community are.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Caliber, North Dakota, LLC, 2.62-mile natural gas pipeline, McKenzie County, siting application case number PU-21-441.
Second.
On November 30th, Caliber of last year, Caliber, North Dakota, LLC, filed a combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the location of approximately 2.62 miles of 8-inch natural gas transmission pipeline in McKenzie County. We are, with this, scheduling a hearing for April 6th at 10 a.m. at 10A Residential Suites in Wofford City on that matter.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a certificate of corridor compatibility route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities 12-inch water pipeline project, Morton County siting application case number PU-22-34.
Second.
On January 18th of this year, Montana Dakota Utilities filed an application for a certificate and route permit for the location of approximately 2,684 feet of 12-inch water pipeline in Morton County, North Dakota. This is to feed, I believe, the natural gas, Heskett Natural Gas Facility in Morton County, and it's one of our more unique areas of jurisdiction where we actually do site water pipelines that feed an energy conversion facility. So there is a hearing with this. We would be noticing a hearing for April 5th at 9 a.m. at Mandan City Hall, Ed Bosch Freilich Meeting Room in Northwest Mandan.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that completes my portfolio. Commissioner Christman.
I move the commission approve the proposed Minnesota Power letter of credit filed on January 26, 2022 in Elite Incorporated Bison One Wind Project, Oliver and Mercer Counties, decommissioning plan and cost, case number PU-11-560.
Second.
On October 2nd of 2019, the commission approved DELETE's decommissioning plan and cost estimate for phase one of Bison Wind. There are four phases out there. Excluding salvage value, the total amount approved was $4,709,710. Bison 1 consists of 31 turbines with a nameplate capacity of 82 megawatts. The facility is 10 years into its operational life, therefore ELITE is required to post the financial assurance now with the commission. On January 26, ELITE filed a request to execute a letter of credit with Bank of America as the issuer for the full amount of decommissioning to satisfy its obligations. ELITE proposes to use its operating division, which is Minnesota Power, as the named applicant on the letter of credit. The filing contains letters from both ELITE and Minnesota Power stating that they both agree to be responsible for decommissioning of Bison 1. The letter of credit is automatically renewed every year, and if it is not, the commission must be given a 90-day notice. The terms and conditions of the letter of credit have gone through staff and legal review, and staff believes the letter of credit satisfies ELITE's financial assurance obligations. So staff recommends that we approve the request to execute the letter of credit to satisfy Bison One's obligation, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission open an investigation into Otter Tail Power Company's 2022 to 2036 integrated resource plan and assess a fee of $250,000 in Otter Tail Power Company integrated resource plan information, case number PU-21-380.
Second.
On September 1st of last year, Otter Tail filed its 2022 to 2036 integrated resource plan. The plan calls for, and I'll highlight six things, but among other things really, adding 150 megawatts of solar in 2026, adding dual fuel capability to the Astoria station by 2026, adding 100 megawatts of wind in 2027, withdrawing from its 35% ownership interest in the Coyote Station south of Beulah by 2028, adding 50 additional megawatts of solar in 2033, and achieving an annual energy savings of approximately 1.8% of retail sales from 2022 through 2036. So the present value of revenue requirements for this whole plan is $2.5 billion through 2050. If you have an earlier draft, it might say that's 2036. That's the end period of the IRP, but some of these costs would drag over. That was the discussion I had with staff right before the meeting is getting that. So the $2.5 billion would be over until 2050. So given the proposed changes to the resource mix being so significant, staff and I recommend that the commission open an investigation into Otter Tail's IRP under the new law that was passed in the last legislative session, that we assess a fee of $250,000 as allowed by that law to help our staff get the right assistance that they need to thoroughly dig into and understand and evaluate this IRP.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So this is really exciting and really a big deal. So this is the really first formal investigation that the commission has taken into an integrated resource plan. And investigation is just the term we're using for, you know, in-depth analysis. This is a tool that we fought for and got with the support of the utilities, strong support, actually, of the utilities. I think they want us to be looking closely at their plans, their long-term plans, and making sure that we're comfortable and providing feedback on them early, and that this will allow us to do that. And as Randy mentioned, they have some pretty significant plans. for, you know, how they're going to address the changing resource mix, how they plan to meet the requirements in Minnesota while also addressing, you know, North Dakota interests and our focus on cost and reliability. And so all of those things come to play and are ultimately expressed through their integrated resource plans. And so this really launches that in-depth analysis of Otter Tail Power's long-term plan for their generation resources. And it is really the single strongest tool the Public Service Commission has for influencing the generation resources that impact both the cost and the reliability for North Dakota customers. So I'm really excited that we're taking this step. It's not as short a process. I assume it'll take 8 to 12 months or longer. Not sure. It's the first time we've done it. So we're learning as we go. But it's a really very important tool that the legislature gave us. And I think we intend to make full use of it and have very productive conversations with Otter Tail about their plans. So looking forward to it.
Is there any further discussion?
I just want to add on to that yet, too. I held some reservations on getting into these because of our very limited staff and the impact it's going to have on them. They need to be doing a lot of other work, too. And these are enormous plans that take a lot of thorough evaluation. And so the filing fee was a huge part of that. As we get through this, is going to be, it's kind of nice that this is starting on a non-legislative year, mm-hmm. that by next year when the legislature's in town, we will have seen at least an initial example of the impact that this evaluation has on our staff to contemplate our own staffing needs, because you're right, these should be thoroughly evaluated, but we need the capability to do that.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery 2022 Rates, case number PU-21-396.
So moved. Second.
Okay. On October 4th of last year, NSP filed its 2022 update to its transmission cost recovery rate. PSC staff discovered two projects that were recovered in base rates and in the rider. So therefore, NSP agreed to make corrections and refile and pull those two out. So kudos to our staff. Mm-hmm. On January 6th, NSP filed a revised TCR rate. The 2022 revised revenue required is approximately $1,382,297, which represents a reduction of over $80,000 from the original filing. The rate proposed is approximately 57 cents per month for the average residential customer. The filing significantly reduced the number of projects recovered in TCR rates as a part of the prior rate case. The total 2022 revenue requirement across all projects is just under $1.7 million. So that, of course, is $328,000 more than I had just mentioned. But the $1.7 million is reduced by almost $638,000 of credit relating to MISO revenue and expenses, and then it is increased by a true-up balance of $320,000. So that then gets us back to that $1.382 million. Staff notes that NSP intends to include in its next TCR rate an approximately $18,000 North Dakota revenue requirement to comply with Minnesota's quote, by the farm program. Only $18,000, but I want to point it out because it's going to be something to contemplate in the next year. This statute gives Minnesota landowners the option to sell their entire property to the utility over which a transmission line of 200 kilovolts or more will pass through. And whether North Dakota ratepayers should be responsible for the cost of such a program should be up for discussion in NSP's 2023 TCR rate filing. So, but that is a discussion for next year, but I wanted to point it out early. Staff believes the costs of NSP's filing are reasonable and prudent and eligible for recovery through the TCR, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Lastly, I move the commission suspend the tariff changes and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company electric franchise fee modifications tariff case number PU-22-47.
Second.
On January 27th, NSP filed an application for revisions to its city fee rider tariff to incorporate the changes approved by Grand Forks and Fargo to their fees. NSP proposes to provide it, well, NSP through the cities actually, through NSP, proposed to provide a discount to large users and to improve readability of the tariff. The tariff revisions would cause a decrease to some North Dakota customers. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether the proposed tariff changes are reasonable and whether the tariff changes should be approved. Those interested are invited to comment in writing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by April 9th of 2022. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. All right, that includes all the regular agenda items. I want to make a couple announcements. So later this afternoon, we have a informal hearing on an Otter Tail Power renewable resource rider and all the costs associated with that. Tomorrow, we have a work session on the NSP rate case. And basically what that is an opportunity for the three of us to visit with staff about kind of the overarching issues we are seeing in that case and things that we think are going to be important to dig into. Advocacy staff listens and can take that into account as they dig into the case themselves and explore and ask questions of the company. And it helps to provide some direction to advocacy about the things that we see. I mean, they look through it and identify the things that they see themselves and work with the consultants and tear it apart, but it gives us an opportunity to highlight things that we think are important for consideration and might be pursued by them as well. So that's really what that is tomorrow morning at 9:30. And since I'm retaining the gas portfolio, I'll be leading that case. oh, I'm sorry. That was just so lame. all right, then next Wednesday or March 9th, we have a formal hearing on some rulemaking at 1:30 afternoon in the afternoon on the pipeline safety and surface coal mining reclamation rules. And on the 10th, we have a meeting with Lignite Energy Council, a quarterly meeting to discuss issues with them. And on the 15th, an informal hearing on the Endeavor NGL pipeline and some, I think it was some siting compliance issues on that pipeline that we're going to discuss. So that kind of outlines the highlights. With that, we will go into recess for a questions from the press. And